All right, this is module 5, and the topic is flying. I almost changed the topic to flight school, but I didn't. Only because I didn't. But it could be flight school, so if you want to put it in your notes as flight school, that would work for you. You all read a definition of flying that I just randomly poked off that anointed Google. It's not anointed, but I think if I keep using it, it may get more and more anointed. But let me just read that. So the definition, this random definition I pulled off the internet, says had two definitions. One, it talked about of a bird or a winged creature to move the air under control. And number two, to move or to be hurled quickly through the air. And I realized, you know, something that we have to deal with all the time with definitions. Definitions already set up a paradigm or a framework. And we see this little cut and paste that flying or to fly is already got you the paradigm that only, you know, of a bird or a winged creature. So that's the only thing that can fly is a bird or a winged creature. And, you know, pre the Wright brothers and pre, who's that guy I like a lot? Leonardo da Vinci. That guy and the Wright brothers, you know, people had the paradigm that only birds could fly and man can't fly, and they had the rule. If God meant us to fly, he would give us wings. Well, da Vinci and the Wright brothers were like, I don't think there's a limit. And so they devised a way to help their human body get in the air, right? And we're not devising a way to get the air. We're going to talk today about what are the things that keep us out of the air. And I had a little note in there about the fear of flying. What are the things that remove those fears, those hurdles? And again, flight that I'm talking about, I'm missing another student too. And the flight I'm talking about is not the, hopefully you've done this too, not the just flying in your dreams and not just by locating, relocating, all that stuff. I'm talking about physically in the body that's listening and sitting down someplace, listening to this message. You physically, like in the movie Superman or not Iron Man because Iron Man has a suit on, but Superman, your physical body going through the physical air and being seen by people. Not that you're flying to be seen, but this is real flying in the real air, and you're not asleep, you're not in a realm, you're not in the spirit, you're not. The same body that if you slap yourself or pinch yourself, talking about that body, okay? This is, it may, you know, so no dream, no vision, no spiritual environments in this, whatever, the West Coast, East Coast, all that kind of flying. And talking about what that is, because if you cannot conceive it, it's not going to happen at all. It's like you can't speak in tongues if you don't believe in tongues, right? You don't use your air and your tongue, you're not speaking in tongues. You're not going to do a spirit, you're not going to engage with a spiritual gift of God. You're not going to engage with anything if you don't participate with it. And so we got to figure out how can we participate with this one thing called flight. But we'll also be dealing with, but if you can, if you understand how to remove obstacles to your ability to fly, you'll remove 1 billion other obstacles that are on your path, right? Just like the analogy of, historically, when David, the little guy, killed Goliath, the big guy, the enemy, the good guys, the rest of Saul's army could remove all the other obstacles called the rest of the armies. So when they removed the big thingy, they took not only territory, but they took a whole realm. If you can deal with the flying thing, this opens up the door to all kinds of things, right? Even the possibility, if you get in your brain the possibility that you are listening to this tape, to this message, that you can fly from just the concept in your mind that you can see yourself doing, that little victory in your imagination will open up doors all over the place. I know this is true because when I first time I took a class on seeing, I did not believe I could see. Went to the class anyway, did not see in the spirit in that class that I was in, but I left that first set of classes with believing I could see. So if stage one is believing you can fly, that will open doors to the fact of believing. Because if you say, if you don't believe in one thing, that non-belief will leech over or influence other things you do believe in. In my case, my ability, my lack of believing that I could see in the spirit was impacting my ability to hear anything or to engage with God. Once I started believing that I could see, my prophetic hearing increased because I was believing, okay? Not that I was doing, I was believing more. So at minimum, the tip of the iceberg is to increase your ability to believe and to decrease your ability to doubt. Okay? The things that you doubt right now have an effect on your faith and your trust. If you years ago, I've said this, I haven't said it all year, but every relationship you have affects every other relationship. Period. Okay? Good or bad. And so we have to deal with that in the right way and realize how it's all related, right? We're all related in Christ. So we got to figure out how these things are helping us or hurting us to work, make sure that everything is benefiting us and not pulling against us. Was there a comment or just someone sneezed? Again. Yep, thinking's a big deal. We'll hit the thinking thing later on in class. So continue with the introduction. So in my introduction, I said, let me just read this. A trained, disciplined Homo sapien can be trained to fly. Okay? That's normal people can fly. They can levitate. They can do this stuff. I just clicked on one article, and when you get the notes, you'll get the source of this, but it's the article called Harvard Goes to the Himalayas. Monks with superhuman abilities show scientists what we all can do. Okay? And this is one quote here. It's fascinating to consider just how many ancient teachings tell us that humans have the capacity to gain extraordinary powers through various techniques. Some of these techniques are known as some word in yoga, meditation, static dancing. I was excited that they had drumming in here, praying, fasting, and psychedelics. Now, I am not teaching you guys to go in any of those routes, okay? Those are routes are not good. Other than drumming, drumming's good, but the drumming they're talking about, I address in my drum book. But so what happens though is in these few different ways or techniques, people who realize that there's more and they get a taste of the more or the power of the kingdom from traditional church, go to a traditional church, dead church that's not moving the power, and they look to the right or the left and they go, hey, those people are at least pursuing something. I know there's more for me. So they leave their church and they join a cult or they go the drug route. They get off of the They were on the right path, but in the wrong vehicle. So there are groups with titles or denominations on them that have parked their car, right? And they're not progressing, right? There are cult groups and people in other vehicles pursuing something, but they're not pursuing God. They're pursuing stuff, right? So point one, if you're pursuing flying, you won't get to flying, right? You'll be indirectly to not pursue God, but you'll pursue the thing. And so that's probably a reason why there's not a bunch of teachings out there godly teachings, righteous teachings on how to fly, because you're easily distracted into trying to do something instead of being with the one. Hopefully in this message you'll find that it's not about doing something, it's about being, and the being that you are, your union with the Lord allows you to do everything. And in the category of everything is flying. Okay? So even though the class is titled flying, we're not trying to idolize or put flying or anything supernatural higher than our relationship with the King. Okay? But what I'm trying to tell you in all the classes, everything that we need for our journey is in Him. And everything in Him is from relationship with Him. And even as Jesus said that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of his mouth. And a mouth-to-mouth interaction is the closest relationship you have in the natural, right? And it's a poor description of the union that every born from above, new creation in Christ Jesus has with the King of Kings. And the only one that can reveal that understanding, that reality, that truth to you is Him. And the only thing any teaching in this realm can do is point you towards that and for you to go in and engage, right? So, yeah. So, Homo sapiens can do a lot of stuff and do a lot of things, but the things they do are kind of a dead end. They're really cool. I mean, you can YouTube right now and see some guys flying and levitating, hovering. But if you give your life to trying to do that, you're giving your life to an empty thing, right? If you give your life to the Lord reciprocates. The sowing and reaping thing works. If you sow life into God, He gives you life, right? If you sow your time, energy into a thing, you get nothing in return, okay? You may obtain the object, but there's no life in that object or that accomplishment. So there's the route that a Homo sapien can take, but we're not taking that route. We're taking the route of relationship because we are born from above, born in God. We are new creatures, and my term, Tino sapien, which means new creation. We can expect more from because we're a new species, right? And if you're looking at yourself human, then you're limiting yourself. I meant to put my link, or at least later on here. In my notes, I put a link to my teaching called Ne Humanus Credi, which means trust no human, and it's all about not trusting or limiting yourself to your human abilities because you're not human anymore. And if you try to remain human, you can't fulfill your call because the life that you now live, you live by faith in the Son of God because it's no longer you live because Christ lives in you. The thing that you are now, there's the attempt of words, but the fact that everyone who knows Him, trusts Him, believes in Him, He is living, our Creator, the Judge, the King, all of His thousands of names, He's living, the Godhead is living inside of you. So when He came inside of you, it's a whole new ballgame, right? And it's up to you as an individual to figure out, okay, how do I live this life with God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit living inside of me? So either you can face the new relationship or you can act like and live like there's no one there. And somewhere we're in between that. Hopefully we, those listening, are progressively knowing the one who's living inside of us. And every relationship will change you. So as you continue to know Him, you'll go, oh, that's how I go surfing with the King of Kings. Oh, okay. That's how I fly on an airplane with the King of Kings. Oh, that's how I go to a conference and receive revelation that he's revealing. Oh, that's why, again, there was so much in Enoch's walk for 300 years they talked and engaged about, because we have the potential to know him in everything. In Romans, when Paul talks about, he gives a list of the things which cannot separate him, things created, demons, powers. That's a small list, but I remember I took that list one time and flipped it, on the positive. I went, wait a minute, I get to know my God in good situations and bad situations. The good thing is, I get to know him. And so, how does God want me to hear about a module 5? How do I hear this next section? How do I get out of my head and get into him? How? The only one who can show you how to really live this life is him, which is back to relationship and how you two work it out. It's like the practical A visual. Hopefully you've done this. If you haven't done this, your homework for this weekend is to go to a picnic and do a three-legged race. And so you have now been united with the Godhead, and you now have to walk this walk connected with him. Before you were connected, you had your own legs, you had your own power and your own ability. Now you've been connected with the King of Kings. How are you going to run this race? It's different. If you try to do it your own way and just move your leg, you won't be very successful. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, go YouTube three-legged races, and hopefully there'll be some out there. All right, long intro. Objectives. We talked about a definition of flying, and you can go find some more. We're going to talk about overcoming some fears of flying, and we're going to hit the why in the world would I want to fly? So I know conferences I've gone to and places I've been to. I remember this one lady, my first intensive with somebody. She asked the question, well, what if you don't want to be a king? What if you don't want to rule a realm? And what if you don't want to have dominion? Well, I thought it was the stupidest question ever. That's why I wasn't the leader of the conference. But the speaker answered it more like God than I did, because it's optional. So God is not looking at you and going, you better grow up and be a son because I got stuff for you to do. He's not doing that. I'm doing that, but God's not doing that. I want to push you to be your best, but I know the best push, the best motivation for every being on the planet is love, right? So I have to, as trainer, teacher, equipper, whatever I really am, I know the best motivator is love. And God knows that, which means he has no ulterior motives. Like, he's not going like, well, once you become a son, a mature, or in the Greek, a huos, a mature believer, then you can have my kingdom. God doesn't care if you're a good king or a bad king. He loves you. And he's got that down. I'm still kind of like, I want you to be awesome students. I want you to progress and be changing every day and becoming more in the image of Christ. And because I'm still got the wrong mindset, I think better of you as you progress. God doesn't think better of you when you progress. He thinks better of you, period, because he loves you fully and completely. So when we start looking at ourselves in that kind of manner, it's not about I've grown today. That's judging yourself. And if you judge yourself, you actually end up limiting yourself, right? Paul stopped judging himself. And it's hard to stop judging yourself, but I'm telling you, if you can stop doing a little bit, it's amazing how much energy that we waste on correcting ourselves, judging ourselves, comparing ourselves, trying to improve ourselves, when God wants to do things for us, but we kind of push them aside and we do it ourselves. So anyway, so section one, I'm going to talk about different hurdles to flying and different things we need to overcome. Session one, we're going to talk about our new nature, laws that we create. I called it mirrors. I don't know if it's a good word, but that's one word I got. And a section on mindsets, okay? And I guess I could have called this section, you know, like if you ever watch any movies, they do the get in the plane, the pilot goes to a flight check. So this will be kind of a flight check or a systems check. And if all systems are go, I was told by the Holy Spirit, these words are, if these systems are in order, then you can fly at will. And then you can argue with the Holy Spirit about the at will part. Because I was like, what? I can just fly on my own? I don't need permission? I can just go? And just anyway, that's, I was stumbling on that myself. But I'm trying to hear and obey, and in my case here, hear and write it down, and then say what I hear. So I'll repeat that. So this is a systems check, and if all systems are go and are in order, then you can fly at will. So, and again, as we hit this, go through these obstacles, sometimes people hear an obstacle and the things get magnified. Do not magnify the stumbling block or the wall or the hindrance or the thing which is in your way. Don't do that, because everything we talk about, it's not about understanding how to get over it, because we already have the answer. We already know the strategy. We know that perfect love casts out all fear, even the fear of flying. And we know the source of perfect love is our Father, who is love. So anything you ever face, the answer is in Him, right? Don't get a prophetic word. You don't have to fast. You don't. You need to be in Him, right? And say, Father, your love can handle the situation. So I'm waiting for your love. I'm open for your love. I'm waiting to be led of you, because you're going to show me the way out, because that's what you do, right? And we also know that, and that's John 4:18, 1 John 4:18, we also know, according to Hebrews 12:2, that Jesus is the author, the initiator, and the finisher, or the perfecter of our faith. So this isn't about you learning a whole lot. This is you being the pot on the wheel, and He's the potter. He is making you awesome. Matter of fact, He already did. You're catching up to His perfection, what He did for you, and in you, and around you. Okay? It's not based on your experience. It's based upon His finished work, right? And so we've got to get out of this time concept. We've got to get out of this process concept. We've got to get out of, I'm working at my salvation. I'm sanctifying. I'm. And realize it's not about you. It's not about self. It's not about ego. Even though we keep thinking it is, so hopefully, if we can realize how loved we are and how dedicated He is to us, then we'll stop working so hard and we'll trust and rest on Him. And so that one thing, and that's all it is okay, I believe you love me, I'm going to trust you, so I'm going to stop perfecting myself. I should stop right there. That's what it's all about. What's it going to take for you to actually trust Him? And that's that key, that secret is in you. You got to find out what is keeping you from Him, because he's removed everything. Something in you, and it is you, are keeping you from your fullness. So tell yourself to stop it and enjoy. All right, any thoughts, questions on the intro?
Yeah, I especially like what you said about stop judging yourself, because I believe a lot of the judgments that we hear in our head are actually, I think, as Frank referred to as the foul whisperer. What was that, Frank, that you referred to when you were in a certain place and you would hear?
In the Aramaic, they refer to the demonic influences as the rotten whispering one.
The rotten whispering one. He's always trying to bring up something that somebody else may have mentioned, maybe a defect or a shortcoming. And it may be partly true, but he wants you to focus on that rather than on what God has done for you. And if he can distract you, then you will not be able to focus. And in one of podcast, you talked about being able to stay focused. And I just think that whatever God has said we can do, that's what we should focus on.
Yeah. And the thing is about focus, which is a discipline, which is in a sense a work, it's like you've heard it from the business world and motivational stuff. You should do what you're passionate about and not what you have to do, right? Or someone says, if you're doing what you love, you'll never work a day in your life, right? And it's about the love thing. If you find yourself not able to do the things of God, that means that your love fuel is low. That means you got to get filled up with love, which means you get back in a relationship, right? And you got to figure out how that you will receive love, right? Life in the kingdom really starts off a relationship. And in that relationship, it's not the friend-friend or the master-servant relationship. I'm talking about the lover-lover relationship. God is love. In John 4, he's seeking those who worship him in spirit and truth. But that worship is an interactive, I love you, you love me. I love you, I love me because you love me. We love because he first loves us. If we stay in that circle of love, then all things are possible because faith works by love, right? You can't do jack in the kingdom without love. But if you're judging your performance, you're not loving. You're now focusing on performance and not focusing on him. But if you'll stay focused on him, everything's easy, right? Bible says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. I heard that for decades as, I got to do things for you because you're the King of Kings. No, he says, if you get your love right, everything else doesn't matter. Matter of fact, that's what St. Augustine said. Love God and do whatever. Because if you're loving, everything else takes care of itself. Right? Anything else? Okay, hitting the first one, nature. Not nature as in trees and bugs and deer, but your new nature on the inside. In Luke 11:17, and this is Aramaic English New Testament translation, but Yeshua was aware of their thoughts and said to them, every kingdom that is divided against itself will become desolate, and a house that is against its own nature will fail. I've shared this scripture before, but I want to focus on that last part. A house, your house, that is against its own nature will fail. So when you're born again, when Jesus is Lord, when you become a new creature in Christ Jesus, you get a new nature. It is your option to be in agreement with your new nature or be in violent opposition to that nature. And it says here that if you're against your new nature, you're going to fail. Not only you fail at life, John 10:10 life in the kingdom, you won't be able to fly for sure. That's a minor thing. But you cannot walk in the kingdom if two are not agreed. That's you and the king, right? And that's a big deal in my new book. Anyway, so it will help if you remember it's not about you, right? It's about him and his work, not about you and your work. And as you said earlier, you, Cliff and Frank, if you focus on him, but it's easy to focus on things that you love. It's harder to focus on things that you don't love and things which are obligations or things that you think you got to do. But when you love something, it's easy to do. It's just like when Laban was, not Laban, Laban's a bad guy, the guy that wanted to marry Rachel, and the guy, Laban said, okay, you want to marry
Jacob.
Jacob, thank you. Jacob, you want to marry Rachel? Okay, work for me for 7 years. And it says, the 7 years was easy. I was like, what? 7 years is always hard, period. But love has the ability to make work easy. And so at the end of 7 years, he went to get his reward, and Laban tricked him and gave him the other girl, and he had to work 7 more years. He worked 14.
Leah.
Yeah, Leah. He worked 14 years motivated by love, and he wasn't upset, depressed, frustrated. He didn't blame the devils. He didn't blame demons. He was in love. If you're in love, nothing can stop you, and nothing else matters, right? This isn't being strong in the Lord. This is being in love with the Lord, okay? And this isn't, I've got to get my DNA cleansed. I got to live a resurrected life. No, you got to fall in love, okay? Now, there are lots of ways to do things, but the very best way, according to 1 Corinthians 13, is love, right? And it's not the mushy-mushy thingy. It's the powerful force that who God is. God is love. It's the most powerful thing, right? We've belittled it because the world system is going like, if they realize it's all about love, they will be unstoppable, you know? And even it's even not, if the scripture again, it says in 17, Yeshua was aware of their thoughts, okay? It's not about we've given the enemy too much credit. He does throw thoughts into our head. But again, we have the ability to focus or think upon whatever we want to think upon, okay? If we give focus or credit to the enemy's thoughts, then those things would be big. But if we are fixated on him, those thoughts of whatever are so small and so trivial, they won't even have an influence or even a pull on us, right? And so it's not about avoiding the thoughts or avoiding. It's about finding him, seeking our life in him, and then everything else will fall into place or fall away, right? So I would say, are you against his work? And what is his work? His work is you guys being one with him, you know, individually becoming part of him, which means we're a body. So it's a work of his glorification. It's a work of his divinity. He's bringing you back home and making you who you're called to be. So when he calls you his son, and so if the son of a lion is a lion, well, the son of God is a God. Now my brain tilts on that statement, but I have to figure out, okay, well, if you're making me like you, wait a minute, you already made me like you, I am like you. No, I'm not. I overslept. I was almost late for class. I'm starting to judge and compare my divinity based on my performance, and I'm failing. God doesn't do that. As you said earlier, Cliff, I need to agree not only with what he says, but what he's done, and what he's doing. Christ in me, the hope of glory. He is working on glorifying me. Am I in agreement with that? Or am I spectating? Or am I going, I need to say, yes, God, have your way. Matter of fact, I love you, and I trust you, and I'm going to be led of the Spirit. So if you say fly, I can fly. I'm not going to think about, I have no feathers, I have no wings, I can't see the spirit. I can't. That's called judgments. And so stop judging and start loving. If you love him, you'll believe him. You'll let him do what he's called to do. But most of us are either violently against him, or we're acting like, well, I'll just be neutral. You're either for him or against him. Okay? And it's kind of hard. So I love everybody who's listening live and recording. And this hits me too, because this is true, right? I mean, like, so are we, I mean, there's things in us that don't really want to hear of all the goodness he has for us. And we've got to say, well, if there's hardness in me or some doubt, I choose you anyway, beyond my limitations, beyond my boundaries that I've made or not made or passed down to me, whatever, I choose you. Let me say this. Pride will say you are not. Humility says you are. Pride says you are not capable of all things. Pride says there's no difference with Christ in you or God in you or Holy Spirit in you. It doesn't matter if I lift up my head, oh, you gates, if I do Psalm 24. It really happens later in something special. When I really get really, really right with God, then things will happen. That's called pride. Humility says, it's not about me. God's awesome, and all things are possible every day, every second. It's not about my sin. It's not about my perfection. It's not about me. It's not about you. So if you get your eyes off of you, that's called humility. Eyes on you is called pride. No one likes pride. But we're so accustomed to it in some format. So we need to get out of that. 2 Corinthians 5:17, hopefully you've had that memorized. You know, you're a new creature now. Altogether, old things have passed away, old thought patterns. So when Jesus came and lived his life, he made it possible for you to separate yourself from your experiences, to not judge yourself based on what you see yourself doing or what you've done, but now we have the ability in him to see all that he's doing. This is where Jesus said, I only do what I see the Father doing. Okay? You can do the same thing. This is not a literal, okay, I see God baking bread, therefore I have the ability to break bread. No, this is a relationship with words. Think of a relationship. In my relationship with him, I can do all things. Okay? But it's also, it's not you literally seeing, you know, Jesus and go, okay, look, I saw God walking to Capernaum, therefore, tomorrow I'm walking to Capernaum. He didn't mean that. That's all of the people who read things literally, get out of your head and get into the spirit. It meant, okay, in my relationship with him, I know that nothing stops him. That nothing stops him, and he is in me. That nothing stops me tomorrow when I go to the cross, or tomorrow when I talk to Thomas, or tomorrow when I go to the court, or tomorrow when I go to Samaria and meet the lady at the well. Okay, it's going to go well. Because I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about Acts 10:38. Jesus went about doing good because God was with him. You get to go about doing good because God's in you. It is Emmanuel, God with us, but not with. He's in you. There's no separation. Now, there was separation, but now there's no separation. We're not living Old Testament. We're not living pre-Christ. We're living post-Christ. And Christ and Holy Spirit and God is in us. That should blow your mind, but bring it back and just trust. So we don't lean upon our understanding or ability to comprehend. We just live in him. Okay. Galatians 6:15. For neither is circumcision, the result of new birth, our being created anew, the result of this new birth and new nature comes from Jesus Christ. We are living from our new nature. We are loving from our new nature. And we will fly from our new nature. We'll do everything from our new nature. If you do it from your old nature, you ain't doing jack. you won't do all things well, you do all things so-so, or not at all. But we have access to him. There is nothing separating you from him. Do not separate yourself, right? 1 Corinthians 15:53. Hopefully you got, you're using different Bible tool aids. I use a Bible Hub and Bible Gateway on my computer, and on my phone too. And just searching for words is amazing how much scripture helps you. I mean, because I haven't memorized the Bible yet. I've got a lot in me, but not as much as I need. But I found this scripture, 1 Corinthians 15:53. I read it to you. For this perishable part of us, and most of my scripture are from Amplified, for this perishable part of us must be put on the imperishable nature, and this mortal part of us, this nature that is capable of dying, you must put on immortality, freedom from death. I read that, I thought, huh. I just got to put it on. I don't have to make it. I don't have to go find it. I just got to put it on. It's like waking up and turning over, and this new dress, this new tailored suit is sitting there on the hanger waiting for you to put on. Before Jesus, you had to go kill a cow, or not kill a cow. Well, if you want a leather outfit, kill a cow, get the leather, tan the leather, make it really nice, go to the tailor, give them the leather, they have to da 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 da. But in the kingdom, you're the thing, the clothing, the mantle, the garments of glory, you don't have to produce in your sweat and toil and performance. Nah, you just got to put it on. How do you put it on? Not by pride. You humbly say, wow, thank you. And don't go into, I don't deserve this. Don't go there, because you'll spend decades in the why you don't deserve it. You don't deserve it. But he loves you, and you're a receiver of your lover. So you just put it on. You put on this imperishable nature that he's given you. You put on immortality, which he's given you. You don't cross your arms and go, well, if I can lose some weight, works, get my mind right, then I'll put on the new nature. And then I'll think about immortality. Stop being stubborn and receive. Okay? It's a word from Wally. Stop being stubborn and receive your new nature. Put it on and receive your immortality. I wrote down, the book, you'll get this in your notes. I wrote down, you got to dress for success. There's a book called that. And when I first got out of college, I didn't know how to really look the part in the business world. So I bought the book. The book is, it's not that long, but it has pictures of, you know, when to wear the jacket. It's got, you know, when to wear the skirt and the blouse. I didn't read those sections. But, you know, how to dress to look presentable. In the kingdom, you got to put on him. You put on his righteousness. He gave it to you. You didn't earn it. Gift, free gift. Put it on. Put it on. Don't think about it. It fits you. Don't, well, is this the right size? It's the right size. Can you afford it? No, you can't afford it. He gave it to you. Free gift. Put it on. The thing about it, he, the King of Kings, he, Jesus, he, Holy Spirit, he, him, he won't dress you. He'll do everything for you, but you've got to do your part. You've got to believe that you're putting it on, that you're partaking fully in his divine nature. It's yours now. That you're putting on his immortality. So you get to dress for flight. Put on your flight suit. Come on. You ain't going to fly on your own. It's not about on your own. You're never on your own. We have to get that through our little heads, or big heads or small heads, whatever. We are not alone. He came to be with us forever. He is faithful, right? He will never leave you, forsake you, ever. Earth time, dream time, vision time, post-Earth, wherever, you're back to being one, to Ekhod. You guys are one. We're one. One, one, one. And soon we'll get the revelation that we're one body. But you won't get there until you realize that you're one. You just have to accept it, right? So start accepting now, and so it'll be easier tomorrow and the next day. Just start believing it. 1 Corinthians 15:22. It's all about union. For just because of their union of nature, you have the same nature as God. When Jesus said that about his father, they wanted to stone them. He says, that's my father. You call God your father? Gonna kill you. That can't be. That's a law in everyone's head. You cannot be one. But you are. Right? So do not stone yourself. Do not look bad about that. Look at that and go, it's okay. When these truths come up that you neither heard about, never thought about, never pondered, this is when you gotta taste and see the Lord is good. So when you hear that, okay, I have the same nature of God, there's nothing in your past, in your now, or even your future that looks like that. And you're going like, how can that be? So you can go down the path. It kind of goes for a long way. But I'm saying, don't trust the speaker, which is me. Trust him. And you go, Father, how can this be? Be like Mary. Okay, so I'm 16 years old. I'm a teenager. And angel, your name is Gabriel. The correct Gabriel, how is it? Capital G. I'm sorry, we're speaking Hebrew. How do you know Hebrew, angel? Anyway, by the way, so I'm going to what? I'm going to get, can you repeat it one more time? I'm not doubting. I'm just saying, you said I'm going to be a host for my Messiah. Okay, wow. By the way, I'm not married yet. But according to your word, I believe. She did not understand that at all. Understanding is not required to be a believer. Okay? Trust is, right? And love is. Because you won't get past anything if you don't trust him. Now, not trust people. I have trust issues with people because people have hurt me and lied to me and not done what I expected them to do. But people are not God, right? You've got to get to know him so you'll trust him. So when he says something to you, you won't doubt it. You'll embrace it and you'll believe it. If you believe it, then you can be it. You can be a son of God if you trust his words. If you trust his words, his words will work in you to make you who you're called to be. Matter of fact, he's already made you. You just don't realize it because you don't believe. Okay? Not to say you pointed my finger. I'm pointing my finger at me too. If you will simply get taste and see. So how do we taste and see? You go, okay, God's in me. Just think about that. God's in me. I mean, last night I could barely sleep because I was thinking about, I can fly, I can fly, I can fly, I can fly. And all my thoughts were, no, you can't, no, you can't. I go, whatever, I'm going to choose to believe that all things are possible. And under that umbrella of all things, flying's in there. Wow. Then you get from whoa to wow to, oh my gosh, to, okay, let's do this thing. Now, let's do this thing. Then you're open, you're willing. And then you get to figure out what else is keeping you. So don't try to figure out what your stumbling blocks are. Just be led of the Spirit. And at the right time, you'll go, oh my goodness, these houses are so small from up here. Oh, wow. Okay, that's cool. Huh. I thought that the wind, so I'm flying through the air, the wind would dry my contacts. I'm glad you thought about that, God. So, he thinks of everything. All right, that's a section on your nature. Bottom line is, you need to figure out how you're going to agree with God and not stay in your pride. right? Thoughts about your new nature and who you really are. You guys okay?
Yes.
Okay, no passing out. Because in Christ Jesus, you can stand. Your new nature can take it all. All right, so we're going to, and so that section there, it's one page in my notes, and it'll be, I guess, a page. I don't know how you guys do this, but I have, until this week, I have not really pondered on this new nature thing. I've read it over years, but I never looked at it as really me and now. Like, not later, not when I memorize more scripture, not, but right this second, I have the nature of God. I have a divine nature in me. And just to ponder that word, divine nature, and not all, I mean, I can clearly see a lot of the wrong things I've done, and I have to push those aside to humbly believe what he's showing me. Keyword is whatever he shows you, that's what you need to believe. Not what you find, not what you hope, but whatever he shows you. So in a class, which you're open for revelation, he's showing you truths, right? And then you get to look at this menu, all these things, this buffet of revelation he's laid out there. This one thing is, you have a divine nature. Will you, in the next minute, hour, days, years, eat that truth? Or will you go back to McDonald's? Don't go back to McDonald's. He's laid out his heavenly diet, and if you continually to chew on his truth, it'll be your truth. Okay? It'll be your law, and we're about to get to this law. So in Romans, write this down, Romans 7, verses 21 to 23. In this amplified scripture, gives you an amazing definition of law. In verse 21, so I find it to be a law that when I want to do, okay, this is Paul talking about when I want to do what is right and good, evil is ever present within me, and I am subject to its insistent demands. So that's a law that Paul is sharing. Hey, guys, here's one of my laws. But in the Amplified, it says, a law is a rule of action of my being. So every one of us has a rule, has rules of action of how we behave, right? We're wired like that. We're almost pre-programmed. So that's a whole other teaching. So a law is a rule of action of your being. Who makes up these rules? More importantly, who endorses the rules, right? When a rule comes up that's anti what God's saying, there's a rule in you that says, I live by gravity, my feet are on the ground, the only way I fly is by an airplane. Some of you don't even have that rule there. Some of you have, I don't fly because I'm afraid of a crash. Therefore, my rule is, I don't fly, I don't care. Period. Okay? Because, anyway, so don't do that. But you're the one who endorses, accepts, or rejects laws or rules, right? Here's one for you. And this is one of the reasons to meditate and to journal. Do you know the rules of action that operate in you? Right? This is not judging yourself. This is knowing thyself, right? Who are you? Sometimes people get lost in knowing who they are, so don't get lost. So hold Jesus' hand and see, wow, I think this way. This rule, is it, I used to believe, and it's only safe to do these, it's kind of it's a self-assessment, it's a judgment. It's only safe to do that in the love of Christ, because if you don't, you'll beat yourself up, right? And you'll blame yourself, and you'll find, you know, anyways, don't do that. But once you get trusting, bring up a rule to the Lord. I was doing something, I guess me and God were, I was closer to him. He's always been close to me. but your distance to him is up to you. So one day, I guess I was kind of close, and I shared this thing. I said something like, well, God, you know, if you go in the devil's territory, and if I'm not led by you, then the devil has, you know, I've given permission to give me sickness. You know what I'm talking about. And because I'd gotten this place that we were now could talk about certain things, the Lord said, no. I said, no, really, you know, when you cross that line, you know, as you know, I'm trying to follow you, but sometimes I don't follow you. I get zealous and I go over the devil's territory and then I make myself a target and I give the enemy, you know, I know this works. I'm telling God how it works. I know this works. I make myself, you know, available to the enemy and he can do what he wants. And the Lord goes, who taught you that? And I go, everyone knows that's true. He goes, that's not true. I go, yes, it is. It is. No, it's not. I go, if my, I'm repeating myself to God so he clearly understands the rule that actually I made up. Well, I picked it from other people but made it a rule for me. I thought if I crossed enemy territory, I thought I was out of the will of God. If I'm out of his will, therefore, the devil can slap me. That was a rule that I had accepted and endorsed and made it in my little rule book. I was sharing my rule book with the Lord, and he goes, that is not a rule of life in me. That's a rule that you're living by, but that's not in me. And I was stunned, because I was sure this was a godly rule. And I was like, huh, so you're telling me if I go do something, if I go into the bar on my own because I think I'm mighty, but you don't tell me to go in there, don't you stay outside and let me get beat up by the devil? He goes, no, I don't do that. You think I do that, and you act like that, and you let the devil beat you up, but I'm here always. Huh. It took me a few years to actually erase that rule out of my book and actually trust him that when he says, I'm with you always, that he's with me always, everywhere. And the scripture would say, even if you make a bed in hell, I'm there with you. What? No. You don't go to hell. God goes to hell a lot. So that's a whole main, you know, mind trip there. So you need to figure out, with his help, what things have you inscribed in the tablets of your heart? That's a good one. That's not in my notes. Write that down. I should write that down too. What have you inscribed in the tablets of your heart? What are you willing to let him inscribe on your heart? Only two individuals can write in your heart. Well, this is new. Only two individuals can write on your heart. Him and you. And I'm saying put the pen down and let him write. Matter of fact, he says, I'll give you a new heart because you have a heart of stone. As you've been chiseling away all these rules, you've taken life-filled commandments and made them death. Chisel, chisel, chisel. I've got to give you a new heart. That's your new nature, the new heart, new nature. So this new nature, don't put new rules, don't put your rules in there. Live by his life laws. Okay? Oh, I like that. So, I mean, and so I would say, since our topic is about flight or flight school and flying, you probably have a law written on your heart saying, is it against your laws for you to fly? It's against my laws because I'm thinking like my eyes get really dry when I run. Well, I don't want to move the air at a high rate of speed. What if my contacts fly out? So I've given myself excuses not to fly. So then, like, what about my glasses? Well, my straps won't hold it on. Remember, I was in the lake and I got pushed by a gust of wind. I lost my glasses. So I have all these rules why I can't fly. I used to have all these rules against being trans-relocated. I used to believe, how do you get back? Because no one taught me for a decade that I was believing that was possible for others. But I wasn't believing for me because I didn't know how to get back from me going there. So finally, 6 years ago or 5 years ago now, I met someone who was going and coming because they trust the Lord. I was, oh, so now I've been erasing some bad rules or bad laws I've had about relocating and bilocating and all this stuff. I've been trusting him because there's no law against love. It's Galatians 5:23. So if you will let him love you, he'll wipe away any rule, any law that you've established in your heart. His love will take the law away and give you a hug. Okay. So let me tell you, your ego, yourself, the old you, will never let you fly. The old you will never let you do a lot of stuff. My old you kept me from speaking in tongues for a whole 3 months. Me, not the devil. Me. There's a lot of you keeping you from doing stuff. And I know for a fact, self, ego, the old you, your old nature, your old man will keep you from flying. But he, the one who loves you, will never keep you from doing anything good. Because all things are possible to those who believe. And the thing you want to believe on is his love for you. Okay? Because love is not offensive. It's not offendable. You can't surprise God. I want to pick up the Statue of Liberty and... Well, what's the purpose of that? So don't get into your head. Just start having wonderful conversations with the Father and let his love work in you and take out stupid stuff, wrong stuff, and let him be the author and the finisher of your faith. Let him write on your heart. Let him establish his ways in you and let his love renew your mind. Take off those old laws so you can be who you're called to be. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Against these things, against the inside stuff, so I'm going to read it to you for it. But the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the work which his presence within accomplishes, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And what I heard last night is, you know, so hopefully if you've gone to Sunday school when you're little, you may have memorized the scripture. And what I heard this morning was there are more things, there's more fruit than that's listed here. There's just not these nine fruits. The work which his presence is accomplishing in you, there's a lot of stuff in there that he's doing. But will you partake in his full orchard or his full menu, right? There's so much. You can get a revelation of all that he's accomplished within you. It's not outside of you, it's inside of you. So stop looking outside, because the kingdom of God is in you. He's given you the kingdom. He's filled up your storehouses. So your answers, the revelations, the things you need to know about you and others and stuff and stuff and stuff, it's not outside, it's on the inside, okay? We've got to get better at knowing our inner man, okay? You've got to know the new, your life is hidden on the inside, because he's on the inside, right? So we've got to start going, okay, this book is good, but I need to spend time with who I am. And who I am is in Christ, and Christ is in me. So, okay, Father, reveal to me who I am. That's one-on-one. Again, it's relationship. Okay, so we just finished a section on rules. I should change the rules of engagement. That's probably been a better thing. What are your rules of engagement? I guess the next class will have that, rules of engagement. I like that. All right, thoughts on laws or rules? your rule of action.
I have a comment. I love what you said about, like, allowing him to write the story. Like, yesterday when I was meditating on a scripture in Matthew, the scripture that says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." That scripture, and I was focusing on it and asking the Lord what he was meaning by it, and he showed me a picture of an ox, two oxen pulling a cart with the yoke upon their shoulders, and they're pulling. And when we are pulling, or wait, okay, when we are pushing in our own direction, like we're pushing, it's heavy. The yoke is heavy because we're pushing in our own direction. But when he's pulling and we're allowing him to pull, the yoke is easy and the burden is light. And it just, I don't know, it was like just this huge, amazing thing for me to see. But it kind of reminds me of what you're saying, like when he's writing the story and we're allowing love to lead, it's easy. There's like almost an effortlessness. And our job is to believe and to allow him. But when we're like under our own law and doing our own, what we think and our own works, it's so heavy. And so I don't know, I just feel like it fits with what God was showing me yesterday. So it's just, it's so liberating. So it's awesome.
Yeah, that's good. Thank you for sharing that. Cause that's it. And you said it effortlessly, right? We're not having to, the first Adam had to labor under the sweat of his brow to get fruit. We're beyond that. Because of Jesus, we don't have to do that. Sometimes we still do that, but we now can live a life of he does the work and we get the benefit. It's not fair, but it's that's the way it is, right?
Yeah.
And so, and again, we can spend decades going, why? Why? How come? How come? And there's people, there are churches and groups that just live in the, oh my gosh, he's so good, but they don't partake in his goodness. They just marvel at the goodness, right? Mm. And we got to marvel, but we got to eat, right? It's like, you know, I don't mind my food being cold when I eat it. I just like food. I have friends that must eat the food when it's hot, right? So I'm like, just eat.
Me too.
You know, and so, but some people don't. It's too good to eat. I'm not gonna eat it. You better eat that thing. Take a picture if you want it to, but eat it. So the same thing with when the Lord shows you something, like, you know, Aaron, he showed you that. Now you got to go. Okay, he's pulling. I'm gonna stop pushing. Okay, tomorrow in class, I'm not gonna pull learning. I'm not going to push learning. I'm going to let him pour into me and not me try to crank something up and try to learn. I'm going to receive effortlessly whatever he's going to show me today. Okay. Or when I go to minister to somebody, I'm going to figure out how to minister by letting them pull and me not push. Or when I'm doing hair, I'm not going to lean upon my own experiences and let him lead me in the style. So we can apply this in so many different areas, but will we? Right? So, cool. Anybody else on rules or what was I talking about? Nature? Thoughts?
Yeah, I have some. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Yeah. When you said over in Galatians that there is no law against the fruit of the Spirit, it's been my experience is that when I was operating from love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, and kindness. There's a whole ministry that comes from the fruit of the Spirit. And when you have a love or a burden or a concern for someone or some group or for souls, then there is no limit to the miraculous that you can experience. After reading the book on love about her journeys in Mozambique and all of the experiences she had, I can't think of her name right now, but you know who I'm talking about.
Heidi Baker,
thank you. I had this burden from Mozambique, and I kept imagining how I could be of service to them. The next thing you knew, I was there in the spirit. And I believe that it resulted because there is no law against the miraculous when God gives you a burden for someone and for somebody. And as you question God about that burden, he begins to open it up to you and allow you to experience it. And the vision that you cast is one that's important, not just for flying, but for any of the unimaginable, miraculous things that God has for our lives. When you look at Acts chapter 8, and Philip was ministering, and he was going about evangelizing, and God caught him up in the spirit. And he actually flew. And the scripture you gave us about Elisha and Elijah, Elisha had such a burden for the things of God until it opened so many doors for him. And so as we get a burden to express the fruit of God, then we enter into doors if we meditate on it. And those doors are just so unimaginably wonderful. And eyes cannot see, nor can ears, nor have ears heard the good things that God has in store for us.
And the next verse there, it says, but the Holy
God has revealed them to us through the Spirit.
That's right. And the place, in the place of revealing, that secret place, which is no longer a secret, is in your inner man. Okay.
Amen.
And so everyone who knows the Father, who's a relationship with him, in that relationship, he reveals all things. The fruit of the Spirit, we've all heard that we've limited it to 9 words. One, the first one means love. But the fruit, again, the work of the Holy Spirit is not limited to 9 categories, right? It's the very nature of God, and we all know God is not limited, but sometimes we use scriptures and we limit who he is. But if you start walking in his very nature, then if you start walking in his very nature, then he will be everything, well, more than he said in us. But he's working in us. That work on the inside of you is that's why he put eternity in our hearts, so that he can work through eternity, right? So there's no time limit, there's no space limit, there's nothing but what we limit him. So let's try not to limit him, so we can do all things, right? They get any other comments?
Oh, that's wonderful.
Any other comments by anybody? Okay, so the next section, I titled Mirror. I'll make it a better section title here. But so the scripture I started this with is John 5, 19 through 20. And this is a scripture that Jesus is talking about. I assure you most solemnly, I tell you, the Son is able to do nothing of himself. So it's not about him. It's about God. So it's not about you. It's about him. So get your eyes off of self, right? But he is able to do only what he sees the Father doing. So some people think, okay, I need a vision, need a vision, need a vision. Got to see, got to see, got to see. No, he's talking about relationship. these relation words that we've done. Wait a second. Hold on. I'm multitasking here. So again, that's verse 20. The Father dearly loves the Son. Okay, again, the Father dearly loves you. And when we start believing He loves everything about you, not you being better or worse, He loves you, period. There's nothing you can do to increase or decrease His love for you. Okay? What we need to do is accept that. So the Father who dearly loves the Son and shows Him everything that He does. Okay? You cannot do anything in the kingdom unless the Father shows you. As in, He has to give you revelation of what that is. That includes flying. That includes ministry. That includes worshiping. That includes living your life. Unless the Lord gives you revelation, you can't do it right. This is illustrated in Matthew 16 when Jesus says, "Who am I?" And Peter says, "You're the Christ." And what does Jesus say? "Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who's in heaven." Life is all starts with relationship, and in relationship, He shows you stuff. Just like when Aaron was in relationship, pondering on a scripture, the Father showed her what effortless living looks like. You cannot live your life by thinking very smart. You can live the life you call to live by as He shows you, right? He has to show you. We live by revelation. Every word that proceeds from His mouth, that's showing. You can't do anything on your own. Just like Jesus said, "I don't do things on my own. I do things with Him and what He shows me to do." He showed Him how to be crucified. He showed Him how to deal with those 12 guys. He showed Him how to deal with all His followers. You can live your life by your understanding or live your life by what He shows you. I'm telling you, what He shows you is the best way. We all have access to the Father who dearly loves you and seeks to show you. If you will receive His love, He will show you. Now, He doesn't show you what you want to see. He shows you what you need to see out of His love for you. He knows what's best. Okay? What's tricky is when we face a circumstance which is out of our control, some chaos, something like death or an accident, we go back to self. We think about me, 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 I, what am I? If we would stop that and go back to what are we going to do, He, out of love, He will show you how you too, you and the Godhead, will get through the situation. If you go into ministry situations, focusing on, okay, what do I got in my bag of tricks? Don't do that. I do that sometimes. Don't do that. Go, okay, Father, we're looking at someone that's, what? Lame. What? What's going on here? Don't, Jesus and Isaiah, is it 1? 11? No. Isaiah 11, 1 through 3, I think verse 4, and then do your homework and find that scripture. Jesus says, it's a reference to Jesus. He says, "I don't make judgments based on what my eye sees." Okay? When you go into ministry, and here's one thing for you, a little tip. If someone gives you a prayer request, do not act on what they say. You need to act on what God shows you. Because what they say is no way correct, because they're seeing it through the lenses of pain, the lenses of trauma, or the lenses of their understanding, and they're communicating from their low level, and you're at a high level. Do not come down and receive their message. You go up and go, "Father, show me what's real in the situation," and then act accordingly. Sometimes it's declaration. Sometimes it's laying on hands. Sometimes whatever. This is your tip for the day in ministry. Do not respond to someone's prayer request. Literally what they do. They know not what they're doing. Now, the first time you tell someone that, they'll be very upset. But when their life has changed because you responded to what he showed you versus what they told you, they'll be happy. But in the middle of time, they'll be sad. So I don't tell people what I'm going to do. And when they say, hey, will you pray for me? I smile. Inside, I go, nope, I'm not going to pray. I'm going to engage with God and see what he shows me. Then I'm going to do what he shows me. And if they say, can you pray for me right now? Don't fall into that trap. That's a trap. It's a natural trap. You're coming down from being kind of sapient to being a nice homo sapien. Don't be nice, be godly. Godly is effective, nice is sometimes whatever it is. You need to act only on what he shows you. That's what Jesus did. That's what every loving son does. That's what a mature huos does. Huos is a mature son in Greek. That's who you can be. Do not fall the trap of being nice. Be godly. Okay? You'll be more effective if you do it God's way. Not your way, not what you see on TV, not what you see on YouTube. Do what he shows you, not what you've seen with your eyes or heard with your ears. Or even what someone asked. When they say, will you lay your hands on my shoulder because my shoulder is sick? Do not act on their words. Act on what he shows you. Okay? That's how Jesus did, and do what Jesus does. Don't copy Jesus. Jesus had followed the ways of God. Okay? This is where we get all, well, Jesus is right. No, Jesus was doing what he did. Don't do what he did. Follow his method. Don't copy his steps. Right? Don't trust a formula. I was big into formulas. Don't do it. Trust in him. There's no life in a formula. There's life in him. Okay? So he will disclose or show you greater things. That's verse 20. He will show you or disclose to him greater things yet than these. All of the these are in the New Testament. All of the these are things that, you know, God's showing you. But he'll go greater. How can you get greater? You got to start spending time with the Lord so he can show you stuff. Here's the word of the day. It's called show and tell. If he doesn't reveal it, no reveal, you no fly. He no reveal, you no fly. Okay? I guess it could be a good tattoo. This is the only tattoo I'm allowing for my students. He no reveal, you no fly. Show and tell. If he doesn't show it, you can't act on it. Where does he show you things? In the secret place. In the time you focus and devote time with him. So where and when, that's up to you, right? But you must play the game called show and tell with the Father, okay? It will show you and tell you how to live this life. Don't play show and tell yourself, play with him. You don't know enough. And no one can tell you what to do. Well, let me phrase it. Everyone will try to tell you what to do, even yourself. And so you got to learn that, my goodness, God's smarter. He always knows, and I'm going to do what he shows, okay? So you got to figure out, you know, what are you seeing? If you can't see yourself in him, you will never fly. You can't see yourself in him raising the dead, that won't work. You can't see yourself going to Walmart and being the light of the world in Walmart. Walmart will stay the same. We need you to live a life of seeing and responding to what he shows. I need you to be in relationship with the living God and walking. This is my plea to everyone who listens to this tape. Please be who you're called to be. It helps me and it helps all creation. Okay? That's my selfish request to the body of Christ who's growing in relationship. Now, as I said, relationship, not revelation. Okay? If you have relationship, you'll get revelation. If you seek revelation, you won't get as much as you need. Okay? So the mirror is, you know, I guess that scripture in Corinthians talks about look in the mirror of the word. But this is not the mirror of the word. This is, we've got to look to him so he can show us what to do, right? But not, we don't look to him like, tell me what to do, tell me what to do. It's like, hey, I love you. What's going on? Then because he loves you back, he'll let you know what you need to know when you need to know it. So if the more we spend time with him, the more he can show us, right? And he can show us how to deal with how we are individually, right? So that's my mirror portion. Any thoughts on show and tell? That's what I call, should call this section. Anyway. Okay. No thoughts, comments. We're gonna go into this last section of hurdles. I called it mindsets, and it's really kind of mindsets around life. You know the scripture, 1 Corinthians 2:14. It says, "But the natural, non-spiritual man does not accept, or welcome, or admit into his heart the gifts and teachings and revelations of the Spirit of God." So it's a good thing we're no longer natural and we're no longer non-spiritual. We are supernatural and spiritual people, right? And we do accept because we're not prideful. We humbly accept and we humbly welcome and we humbly allow him to write in our heart. And we humbly receive all his gifts, all of his teachings, and everything he shows us, right? We don't push away his gifts. We don't push away stuff that we don't understand. We go, thank you. Yes. Okay. I'm going to do this. That's who we are, right? Or you're in the process of learning how to receive, learning how to welcome, learning how to admit, and you're there. It's cool. I wrote this, the spiritual man understands is not distracted by chaos. We're living in a chaotic world. The natural man is confused and is distracted by chaos. So you have a choice. Be spiritual or be natural. The impact of being natural is confusion. When we look at flying, the natural mind, the natural man says, natural man cannot fly, so stop thinking about it. If I was supposed to fly, I'd have wings. But the spiritual man says, who needs wings? All things are possible in him. So, yeah, I can do that. And so it's not just a mind over matter thing. It's a choosing to be in his nature versus your old nature. Your nature, your new nature, there are no limitations. In your old nature, that's why Jesus had to die for us. That's why we had to be one so we could get out of the old and into him so that we could do what we're called to do and be who we're called to be. So we had this, there'll be some more stuff in your notes, but hit this thing on James 1:8. James 1:8 is a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And so we're talking about here mindsets, early nature. If you're thinking about your outer man, who you were, and living by what you see, versus your inner man, who's fully engaged with God, if you're living in if you're living double-minded, thinking outward and inward, you'll be unstable or be ineffective. James 1:8 from Amplified says, a man of two minds is hesitating, is dubious, is unstable, unreliable, uncertain. So because of what Jesus did, he gave us access to being one with God, to the mind of Christ, to divine nature. But because you're still on this planet, you have the option to think naturally, right? And so sometimes we've given the natural too much credit, but we're so used to it because we were all, you know, everyone I'm talking to hopefully was, you know, born of a woman and not of a test tube. But if you're a born of a woman, born of water, and also then born from above, then you have the option to live from on high, live out of your divine nature. But going back and forth, it makes things unstable. I put in the notes a clip from the movie The Last Samurai, Tom Cruise movie. I like Tom Cruise as an actor. I don't agree with some of his philosophies, but in the scene in the movie, he's learning how to fight with a samurai sword, and he is training with the best swordsman in the community, and he's getting just beat and beat and beat. He's losing. He's not dying because they're training with wooden swords. And so one of his new friends, you know, power of relationship, says, hey, time out, come over here. He says to him, too many minds. And the natural man, Tom Cruise, goes, what? And the guy says, he says it slower, too many minds, mind of sword, mind of situation, mind, and he says, all these things are in your mind. You need one mind. It's a YouTube clip, and when you get the notes, you can click on, or you can, if you're in a hurry, you can do it yourself. You can just Google Tom Cruise, Last Samurai, Minds. And so it's 42 seconds scene. And once he stops being double-minded, or actually multi-minded, and gets focused on one thing, as David would say, I have one desire to be in your courts, O Lord, to be with you. When you get focused on your first love, then all things are possible. So in the movie, when he gets focused, he actually doesn't defeat the best swordsman, but he, instead of losing, it's a draw. So he's gone from being beaten to being one with the master. And that's our life. When we focus on one mind, we'll be one with the master, who's our king, who's our lord, who's our first love, who's our creator. And the list goes on of all the attributes and that are available to us in his nature. Okay. We have to leave that human point of view and come into that kingdom point of view. Okay. How are we doing?
Good.
I hit the major hurdles, whatever they were. Any question on that section of things that we went through? We went through a section on our divine nature, these rules we make up, how we can let the love of God remove a rule and let him write the laws of love, the rules of our being, let him live a life of him, of show and tell, and then changing our mind that we have one mind versus being double-minded. So those are the major hurdles that help that his love will help you overcome. So she knew all things, and one of those things would be flying. Any thoughts, questions before we move into the last section?
Do you have any further comments on show and tell, what that means to you?
Well, the simplicity of it is show and tell. I did have a little bit, but the A key is it is that simple. If he shows it to you, then it's possible. If you want to see something, like, you know, if you want to see, you know, you want to, quote unquote, go to the house and raise him from the dead, you have faith for it because you want to go do it. But again, Jesus only did what he saw the Father doing, okay? That is, he lived by revelation, okay? And revelation is not the same thing as I did it before, I can do it again. Okay? That's how Wally lives. I beat this before, therefore I can beat it again. That is not relationship, and that's not by show and telling. Okay? So, John 6:62, which is a scripture I gave you guys to meditate on, actually a lot of verses. What then will be your reaction if you should see the Son of Man ascending to the place where he has been before? What is going to be your response when the Lord shows you that you can fly? The Lord shows you how to raise dead. The Lord shows you how to minister to your friend, your father, your mother. What are you going to do when he shows you? We need to get used to him showing and us responding to what he shows, and not to what our natural way is. Huh, let's think about this. Let's create a plan of attack and then go do what seems right to man. We need to do what he's showing. So it's a different, we have to learn how to respond to what he shows, right?
Thank you.
Does that help a little bit?
It does. The tell part is respective to ministry when you're when God shows you and then you respond by telling the person what God has shown you. But also what I found in my own personal life is that when God shows me something and I begin to declare it, as soon as I saw that lesson on flying, man, I started to get excited because my wife was interested in seeing the movie Avatar again. So I found it and I copied and I downloaded it and we watched it over 2 days. There was a whole lot of flying going on in that movie. And the experiences of these aliens learning to, this one particular alien learning to fly, and he was, of course, using some sort of a creature that was an alien creature. But the truth of the matter is that one of the things that God has helped me understand is that I have to declare from my mouth what God is showing me. Even if not to anyone else, but I can declare it out loud, because with the heart, man believeth, but the mouth, confession is made unto salvation.
Yeah.
And so when I was told in 1968 I could receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I received it. And I kept telling people, and they would look at me, I'm going to get the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues. And they look at me like, what are you talking about? But the more I talked about it, the more it became a reality. And I didn't know then, you don't cast your pearls before swine, or you don't tell people who have no spiritual understanding spiritual things, you know. But what I declare, when I start singing it, I believe I can fly. I'm reinforcing it in my spirit and in my heart. So the tell part of it is double fold. Keep telling it to yourself.
Well, it's like I said, the house divided. So your house is your spirit, your soul, and your body, right? If your body does not agree with your ability to fly, you can't fly. Okay?
Amen.
So you need to talk to your body, right? For sure. You can talk to your body out loud, or you can talk to your body without volume, because your body hears you whether you're using your inside voice or outside voice, right? But you got to talk to it, right? And your soul has to, you know, you have to get your emotions aligned, right? If you feel unworthy, you won't fly, right? And so we're all wired a little different. There's different things that we get to deal with stuff, right? It's like, I will physically buy myself a gift to reinforce a truth. Because I need to figure out how to reinforce something. I know declaration does that, but I also know that some activity, some faith without works is dead. So sometimes my communication to myself is a gift. It's an act of faith, right? So you got to figure out who you are and what works with you and the king, right? And it's not, and you got to figure it out. You know, you got to practice. Okay. Some people can confess 1,000 times and now they brought themselves in union with the nature of God, and it is 1,000 times. Other people are so in love with God, it's just, oh, it's in one time. I'm not quite to the one time yet, but it's there, right? So you don't limit yourself to whatever. It's taste and see the Lord is good. Some people don't like something until they've eaten it 20 times. Some people have it one time and they're good, right? So wherever you are, keep eating, right, of his truth, right? But yeah, you got to know yourself, right? What works for you? Now, God's already done all his part, but how are you getting there is kind of why there's equippers and trainers and people out there to help you figure out what's best for you. It's like when I used to work at a fitness store, people would come in and they would bring their, all the books I sold, you know, like I sold a book by Arnold Schwarzenegger, and it took me a while to realize that all of his training was fine to, or custom to his body, or his body to respond to it. So there's some things I could do that my body would respond the same way. There's other activities that had no impact on my body. So I had to custom fit my activity so that I could grow the best. The same thing with you and the Father. The way Wally Johnson interacts with the Father, if you do what I do, there'd be some benefit, but you need to figure out how you and him agree, okay? That's custom to you as an individual. And that's why you have to engage. You can't just engage when there's a need. You need to engage before there's a need so that you've seen, he showed you so much so you know what to do. But you're always in union, so you're always there. It's not like, Father, I know I was supposed to talk to you last week about this, but I didn't. Well, yeah, you should have, and maybe so then you'll get into that double-minded thing, like, well, I missed it, so you start judging, and da-da-da-da. But if we live out of love, then we're prepared, right? It's like the Lord prepared Aaron for this class by showing her the whole thing about effortlessness. The Lord always is willing and able to prepare you for things which are coming. And what's the Bible say? Good verse, which I haven't found yet. He will show you things to come, right? That's what he's ready to do. But will you look at the things he's showing you? You will if you're building a relationship of trust. Or will you go, how's that relevant? Nah, I don't know what that means. So you skip it. Don't skip anything. That's why journaling is important. Sometimes he'll show you something. You don't know the context, but if you write it down and you go back and rehearse your journal, you go, oh, now that's relevant. He knows what you need. Sometimes we think it's not relevant, but it's like vital, right? So, yeah. Good question there, Cliff. Anybody else? Are we going to the last section? All right. This last piece is on kind of the why, and I've kind of broken the three areas. The power to fly, a thing called flight instructions. I'm going to hit the whirlwinds, how Elijah went up, and hit a little bit on the ability to fly. So it's just basically 1, 2, 3, 4 scriptures and some comments, and then we'll be done. So on the power to fly, Ephesians 6:10, the power is through union. Ephesians 6:10, in conclusion, be strong in the Lord, be empowered through your union with him. Okay? The power comes from the relation, from the union, from the fact that you are one with him, okay? St. Augustine said, love God and do whatever. If you live from that union, live from that nature, you won't do stupid stuff because there's no stupid stuff in you to do, right? Because you're only going to be doing what he shows you and not doing what you look at. Say it again. You'll be doing what he shows you, not be doing things that you look at on your own. Because, again, you'll be learning that it's not about you, it's about him. and that learning process takes as long as you want it to take, right? So, but the more you love, the faster it will seem that time goes. The time won't be an issue. If time starts to become an issue, start working on your relationship. Is there something keeping you from giving yourself fully to the Lord? And find out what's up with you, right? It's not God. It's something. Are you not trusting him in an area? Do you need to talk it through? Once you're open, then that little stumbling block will be removed. Okay. Flight instructions. I wrote down Matthew 6:6. But when you pray, go into your most private room and closing the door, pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you in the open. So there are some people that do have a room in their house that's a prayer closet. There was a movie called War Room that was kind of based on this whole thing. It's a cool movie, cool concept. I'm not using that concept. The room that I want you to be more comfortable with is that inner room inside of you where you, where the Holy Spirit, God, and Jesus dwell. You need to go to that room, spend time with them, shut the door to the world, and commune with them in secret so that everything outside of you changes, that he will manifest his fruit, his reward. All that he's working in you will be seen by others, and one of those things, in this case, in this topic, would be flying. But it's not right. Limited to flying. It's just, it's unlimited. But it's in that inner world inside of you that where it needs to initiate, not outside of you, on the inside. Okay, we have to cultivate our inner life so that we can have an outer life. Okay, so that he does the work on the outside. If he does the work on the inside, then it'll be shown on the outside. If you do the work on the outside, nothing goes inside, and you're kind of going, how come this isn't working? It's because you're working. Okay. And so when you get off of you, get onto him, then it'll be well with your soul, with your body, with your spirit, and with all creation. On the whirlwinds, we're pretty comfortable with the fact that verse 11, so 2 Kings chapter 2, 9 through 11, you can read that, but focusing on verse 11, they went on and talked, and behold, a chariot of fire and horses of fire parted the two of them, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And if you remember the definition of flying, the second definition talks about to move or to be hurled quickly through the air. So in this case, these whirlwinds quickly moved Elijah in the air. It wasn't the chariot. The chariot separated Elijah and Elisha. The whirlwind took him up. So there's a whole dynamic of there's the four winds in Zechariah. There's this whirlwind here. There's other means of flying other than out of the nature of God in you. I'm not sure of the way Jesus ascended, if that was just out of his union or out of the whirlwinds or out of a chariot. It doesn't matter how. It just matters that all things are possible for you because you're united with him. Okay, don't worry about the how. Just know that, yes, you can. Okay, and so whirlwinds are a way to fly. On the ability to fly, 1 Corinthians 2:15. This is a lot about, again, you. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 15 says, but the spiritual man, which is you, tries all things. He examines, investigates, inquires into questions, and discerns all things. This is fully engaging, right? So after today, on the topic of flying, so this isn't like, okay, I've had the class on flying. I've listened to the tape, the MP3, the download, 212 times. Today, I fly. Doesn't mean that. That's called formula. Listen to it 212 times, therefore I've got it. No, this is, I'm a spiritual man. Everything the Lord has shown me, keyword show me, is available to me. Yay. Accept that. And as you're investigating all of his goodness, as you're inquiring on all of his goodness, as you're under questioning in the good way, and it's good to question, all your questions are great, as you're discerning spiritually all things, and then you'll fly when you need to fly, right? Or you'll fly when you want to fly. But it's only for those who are living out of their nature, loving out of his nature, living out of his nature, and the spiritual man, that's how you live. That's your ability to do all things, is out of his nature, which is your nature. That's it. All right. Done. I actually did it. All right. Thoughts on whatever.
Yeah, I totally agree with you about that. That room that you go into, that inner room. For a long time, I would get into a quiet room, a quiet place to try to experience something, and really wouldn't experience much. But when I started to meditate, I found myself in the inner room, and I started to experience more. In fact, one time when I was meditating in the car while I was waiting for the attorney, he was at the jail waiting to go see a client, and I had to wait for him outside for about an hour. I said, okay, Lord, what am I going to do? Oh, I know, I'll meditate. So I just did some meditating, and boom, I was out of my body without even focusing on, okay, Lord, take me out of my body. None of that. It was just, I heard like a big bang, and I was out.
And where did you go?
I was just flying through the cosmos. But the funny thing is, I was in my seated position as I was sitting in the car. I wasn't like flying like Superman. I was still in the posture of being seated in the car. If that makes any sense, it's kind of funny.
Were you like by location, or I mean, did you know that you were still in your car while you were out in the cosmos, or were you just kind of literally out of your body and you had no
I had no way of looking back on my body. I was like I broke through a veil and I was somewhere else altogether.
And what did you see?
I saw galaxies, planets, a big cloud of light and fire of different colors. And I just was whizzing. It's like these things were just whizzing past me at a very intense speed.
Oh, go ahead.
Well, then I woke up out of that state because a car came by really loud by where I was parked, and it aroused me, and I was out.
So did something get accomplished, or was it just seeing God's creation?
It was just seeing God's creation and awareness that, and not fearing of where he was going to take me.
That's cool. So I guess my question on this is.
There's been other times where I had a business in Switzerland before, and I really miss it a lot. And one thing I used to do on my off time is as I was walking through the streets in Zurich, I would go pray for people out in the streets. Well, I missed doing that when I was in Switzerland. So I found myself sometimes when I meditate, I focus on just remembering what it was like to be walking the streets in Zurich. And as I do that, I see myself doing it, and I feel like I'm there, and I see myself praying for people. I'm not aware that I'm physically there, although it feels like it. You know what I'm saying?
So spiritually, you're there.
Yeah, yeah.
I used to live in Imbrach.
Oh, lived in Zurich for 2 years and then 2 years in Ticino, in Campione d'Italia. Awesome.
But what is Imbrach?
Imbrach is just a little town a few miles out of Zurich.
Yeah.
Little village.
I lived in the Schwamendingen region, just outside of Zurich, on the outskirts.
It's beautiful there.
Yeah.
Crazy. So I guess my question is, it sounds like that's more like transcendental meditation, like out-of-body experience.
Well, I don't focus on that. I just meditate on God and His presence. It's not like I'm seeking that. I just remember the good things I had when I and the experiences I had as I was praying for people and laying hands on the sick. I had it before, a situation where somebody asked me to pray for a sick child that was in San Francisco area. And at the time, I never had any, I never felt that I had much success of praying for people over the phone or from away from them. I actually had to be there, and I'd ask the person, okay, what's their name, where are they at, and I'll go see them at the hospital, you know? And then since this was very, very far away, and I had a huge amount of compassion and empathy for this family that was going through this, I said, well, okay, what if I just can see the baby in my spirit, you know? What's the baby's name and all that? And I felt like I was almost there, and I had my hand on the baby as I was praying, you know? And so I tried to make as many connections as I could within the physical realm so that I could experience my in my spirit seeing where the baby was at and its posture and all that.
Now that I can understand. It's accomplishing a purpose.
Yeah, so like, for example, the friend who told me about this family was an African family. I said, well, what's the do you have the parents' phone number? And he goes, yes. He gave me the number, and I called the family. And I was doing this while I was on the phone with them. And I said, where are you at? They said, we're at the hospital with the baby. The baby had a hole in its heart that had like the heart hadn't fully closed, and there was a hole. And so it wasn't pumping properly, the blood. And so they were still trying to figure out what they were going to do, if they were going to do surgery on it or if they were just going to wait and see how that what developed. And so I was talking to the family on the phone, the mom and dad on their cell phone, and they were in the hospital room with the baby. And I said, you know, a friend of mine asked me to pray for your baby. I said, so I want to do that. And I said, please tell me about your surroundings, where you're at and all that. And they were describing it to me because I wanted to be able to see it in my spirit, you know. Mm-hmm. And I said, okay, now put your hand on the baby's chest, you know. And I said, and put the phone near the baby's head. I said, I'm going to start to pray for it. And so they put it on speaker, and I could see myself with the family with their hand on the baby, you know, as I was praying. And I did hear a very good news. One day I was talking to my friend afterwards because I just put it out of my mind and went on about my life. And like 2 months later, I asked my friend, oh, whatever happened with that baby? Oh, they said it was really great news. You know, it turns out that the hole in the baby's heart started to close.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
That is good.
And I was just so thrilled that God gave me the opportunity to be a part of that, you know.
Okay, so is this what we mean by flying? So I have some questions. Like, when you talk about flying, are we talking about transporting like Philip was transported, or out-of-body experiences like Frank experienced, or traveling in the spirit like Frank experienced, or I mean, are you physically flying and people can see you flying? Or I know the occult, I've had friends who have experienced, you know, witchcraft where they literally, you know, I know the witches do have, you know, leave their bodies and fly around, and they've literally had experiences where, you know, they've experienced the witches' orbs or spirits or, you know, different strange things with them, you know, when they're out of their body. So, I mean, is this something where you're physically out of your body? Can people see you as a light orb flying around? I mean,
yep.
Or I know, like, when I was on doing the Heaven's Call with you, I remember asking you, like, are these people really, you know, ascending to heaven and seeing all this stuff? And you're like, no, this is, they're like using their imagination. So it's like, is it partly you're using your imagination in part with God?
So this class, this topic is about you physically flying and physical people seeing you fly. Now, the goal the goal of our life is not to be, hi, I want to fly so that people can see me. The goal is for you as a believer, Wally as a believer, to do everything the Father shows us. The training is about to get us ready to do everything, whatever the everything is. This is just the topic of flying is one of the 1 billion things that are accessible to us. Now, as you mentioned, there are probably a lot of philosophies, religions that would talk about out-of-body experiences or even physically flying, and those stop short because all of those don't have are not involving the Creator God that we're talking about. So we're not.
Yes, no, they're not.
Yeah, so we're not talking
the other God.
Well, there's lots of other gods, but. So we're not stopping at the activity. We're talking about what he wants to do. Okay. So, like for example, just you know, if the Lord takes you spiritually, so whatever out, it's a preparation so that when you go to do something. So the example would be scuba diving. You have to get used to being in the water. You have to get used to being at a certain depth before you actually can function at that depth. So the Lord doesn't throw you into a supernatural thing so that you can go like, you go into shock, right? So he eases you into the level of belief you're at. So if like when Wally, who doubts a lot, we don't do anything the Bible says because I don't trust and I don't believe and I doubt. So until my fears are removed, we don't do nothing, right? So the training is about, okay, so on the wild topic of flying, right, it's not about let's go fly. Let's get rid of all of our fears. Let's get a stronger trust of God so that all things are possible, not just flying. Okay.
Yes. So, yes, all things are possible to him who believeth. So can you give me, like, an experience you had flying?
I don't have one.
Oh.
It's not about our life based on experience. It's our life based on a relationship and our new nature, right? And that's the big difference because if we live a life of experience, then we're limited. If we live a life in trusting the unlimited God, then we can do all things, right? Does that make sense? It's a big difference because it's not. I'm not teaching out of what I've accomplished or what I've done, because then it would be do what I do. I'm trying to teach out of you and your relationship with God. All things are possible. Okay, and so I don't know all of the things which he wants you to do, what he has planned for your future, but I do know that love for him and growing will make you ready for all those things, right? That makes sense?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
It just sounds like, I guess I was thinking like Frank saying that he was transported to Mozambique because he had a burden for Mozambique.
That was Cliff. Yeah.
Cliff, yeah, yeah. I'm sorry. And it sounds like that would be to accomplish, you know, to be there, to put energy towards the salvation of souls and accomplishing God's purpose there. And also, you know, the things Frank said. But then it also sounds like, you know, like Frank had that experience where he just got to go out through space, which means like God's just like, just loves you. He's just like, here you go. You know, you get to just experience this because I love you, you know.
Well,
which is good.
But everything God does, okay, from his perspective, it's purposeful, right? From our perspective, it's like, Wally, you're spending 2 hours, 20 hours preparing a class for people who may or may not come. That's a waste of time because no one's committed to the class. So according to Wally's head, this is a waste of my time, okay? But according to the love of God, he's going, I want you to do this. And I'm going, what's the purpose? You know, I want a tangible purpose. I want proof that you're going to use these messages, right? I have no proof. Okay. Now, when I have a podcast that has 50 messages on there, and it's for free, and when I started doing it, I was like going, this is a waste of my time and my money, because you're not telling me this is purposeful. And so years later, I'm getting these, hey, you don't know me, but I listen to your podcast. I go, what podcast? I've forgotten about things I've done for him, not for people, not for a purpose, but because he said so, right? And so I've forgotten that as a labor of love, right? And so when people come tell me, oh my gosh, that's been great for me, I go, what? That had a purpose? I thought it was just an exercise. I thought it was just me just talking and recording. Okay. So in God, God has a reason. So flying through space one day could be, that's just fun. But 2 years later, God says, while you were flying through space, I actually had you touching all these stars, and let me show you what actually happened. So what I'm saying is, if Wally Johnson waits to know the reason for what this thing is, then I probably won't do it, because I like doing things for a reason. Okay, I really like doing things for a reason. But when you're in love, you do things because the one you love says, can you do this? And you go, yeah. And you just do it, right? When I'm in light with somebody, or I'm working for somebody, I'm like, okay, so why am I doing this? And they may tell me based upon the relationship, but I'm not motivated to do my best unless I believe in what that person is saying. So what I'm trying to tell them is, out of a relationship with the Lord, he may ask you to do so or do something with you, but you only will do it if you trust him. And I'm saying that we're all in different levels of trust, right? And Wally's in different levels of trust and fear. And I mean, I'm afraid of doing weird things because I don't want to be deceived. I don't want to go down the wrong path. And I really don't want to take others down the wrong path. So a lot of my stumbling blocks or my hesitation is, my other mind is, I'm probably not fully in God. I'm probably missing something. So I'm probably going to, but as I'm getting to know him better, I'll give myself more to him and not have to worry about knowing what I'm doing before I do it. So, but it's we're all in different places, right? I'm just trying to say, get to know him so you can do, he'll prepare you for other things, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good word, Wally, because what I found is that I'm the same way. I don't like to do things unless there's a reason for it. And I never really thought much about just flying for the sake of flying. But when I ended up in Mozambique, I was there, I was preaching. And what the Lord showed me is that these people had suffered so many disasters and floods and war. And some people didn't believe that God really loved them. And you know, you can see the miracles sometimes and not really notice how it's affected you. You know, the miracles that are happening to other people. But the message was God loves you, and that what you experience has nothing to do with God's everlasting love for you. And so when I went to Mozambique, the purpose was to deliver that message. And how it was received, or you know, whether I was really preaching to this crowd or not, I don't know. All I know is that's what I experienced. But what the Lord is saying to me is, there are other things.
Yeah.
And you need to include them.
Yeah.
And you should not block them out because you don't understand. So I receive that. I receive it because when the man of God declares what God is doing, then I want to be a part of it. I've learned that if you do that, and if you accept it, or you don't try to understand it, but just say, oh, yes. Yes, Lord. Yes. And next thing you know, you're enjoying another wonderful experience in God.
Yeah.
So when you went to Mozambique, you were actually preaching to a crowd?
Absolutely was.
How long were you there, and how long did you preach?
It seemed like only minutes, but I really don't know. You know, the timing was just, I was there and I was preaching, and I delivered the message, and the next thing you know, I was still in the shower.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah, time is, I mean, I used to judge things by time, but time is so relative to our brain and not necessarily a thing. It's not true in space, but it's a weird thing in the spirit, right? Because you can, I mean, in the natural, if you start focusing on something, time flies, right? But your brain has the ability to slow down time, speed up time. That's just your brain with your ability. But when you start taking your natural and put yourself in situations, time is a weird thing. So you really can't trust time, if you will. We do trust time. We use calendars. We use watches. And we've got a big relationship with time. But I'm learning that if I have to pick God over time, it's better to pick God. But lots of time, I'll pick time. You know? So just because, you know. But you don't have to learn anything, but it's something you got to figure out. You know, it's like for years people say, well, you need to spend time with God, and you should read the Bible an hour a day. Well, I couldn't somehow as disciplined as I couldn't find an hour, so I wasn't reading it at all. So then it was like, well, why don't you do 5 minutes? I go, well, what is 5 minutes? 5 minutes is not enough. Well, the point is, once I start 5 minutes, I can get 10 minutes. Then I built up to it. But because I was honoring time too much, I thought only an hour was worthy of God. So I was doing, since I couldn't do an hour, I was doing zero, right? So zero was horrible. So then I thought, well, I know this isn't what God wants, but I'll do 5 minutes. And I thought, wait a minute, I'm talking to time, or I was reacting to God based on time, not based on love or based on him. So there's a lot of dynamics going on. And again, it's about how, you know, you as an individual and God is who he is, how you two are going to relate, because it's a relationship. And in every relationship, it's two individuals figuring out each other, right? And it's just that. I'm just trying to get, you know, a lot of my foundation messages. I just want the individual and the Godhead to get together. And that's all I want. And then y'all figure it out. It's like, okay, get in the room.